October 25th, 2009, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class. We're discussing Seva Sadhaka Rupena Sidrupena Chatrihi, the verse about serving with our Sadhaka Deha in Raghunuga Sadhana and also serving in our Siddha Deha in Raghunuga Sadhana. So these days, everyone is attracted to doing Manasi Seva and Seva in the Siddha Deha. However, Rupa Goswami, in this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Seva Sadhaka Rupena Sidrupena Chatrihi, he's first describing, first describes doing Seva in our Sadhaka Rup, our physical body. We must acquire the adhikar or the qualification by first serving Radha and Krishna in our sadhaka deha. If we practice something we're not qualified for, we will face difficulties and problems. First we do seva in our sadhaka rupa and we get strength. Rupa Goswami stressed three steps in service to guru. That means with the physical body. We must become expert in this Guru Seva before starting the second aspect of Manasi Seva in the Siddha Deha. If you, for example, in Ayurveda, in health treatment, and Panchakarma health system, first you start with massage and gradually progress to steam bath and purgatives. First you finish one course before you start the next level. Often on a path of devotion, people try to follow the path of bhajan, which are not eligible for example, Manasi Seva. First, we must diligently and sincerely serve Guru, become purified, and develop greed to follow in the footsteps of the Brijvasis. And then that will happen if one is actually following Vaidhi Sadhana properly and in proper association. As sadhakas in this material world, we must attain a stage, must attain a sthayi bhav that we want to live in the spiritual world. Krishna's pastimes in Braj, they resemble a play, and we will be given a role to perform or to act there. As sadhakas here in the material world, we have to practice. It's like a play. The actors do rehearsal. For example, the sadhaka, the rehearsal is done in the sadhaka and siddha deha. We have role models, spiritual ideals whose footsteps we want to follow. The eternal associates of Krishna and Braj are perfected beings. They know best how to serve and please Sri Radha and Sri Krishna. The highest perfection of the living entity is to achieve their loving mood of selfless service towards Krishna. The Brijvasis are the Brajajanas. They have the purest love for Krishna. And we want to become their associates. We must learn about their moods, how they're serving. This is Anyabhilashita Shunyam. They don't have any material desire. After hearing about them, about the moods of love and service, if a devotee desires to acquire similar bhavas, feelings, and consciousness, and render same type of services that they do, then one is actually qualified to follow the path of Rag. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the methodology to follow the residents of Braj, like Lalita, Vishakha, Rupamandri, etc. Lord Chaitanya is explaining that ultimately the internal body is assigned by Krishna. The internal body is assigned by Krishna himself. When a sadhaka becomes qualified, one's siddha deha will be revealed by the guru, by the holy name, or by one's service, by Bhakti Devi. One rehearses that service internally by practicing Lila Smaran. One's eternal role in Krishna's pastimes is revealed right here while the sadhaka is living and practicing in his material body. The path of bhakti gives direct realization, as Krishna tells in Gita, the 9th chapter, Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam. Whatever one will attain, that bhava will be experienced right here. Narottam Das Thakur uses the term Prem Bhakti Chandrika, pakwa and apakwa. That means pakka and kacha, ripe and unripe. What we'll get in the future is called pakwa. You first get that bhav now. And if in the next life we are destined to get a spiritual body, that bhava, that sthayi bhava, must be acquired now. First bhav, then body. Death is only a change of body, not a change of bhav. That's a very interesting point. Death is only a change of body, not a change of bhav. Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 3, I suppose. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajit yanti kalevaram. He says that whatever state of bhava, when we, at the end of this body, when we give up this body, tyajit kalevaram, means when we renounce this body, when we die, give up this physical body, the sadaka deha, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. Whatever bhav, whatever body of feelings, whatever sentiments and feelings that we've collected during the course of our life in this physical body, that will be tested and that will determine our future body. We may have lived in a human body in this life, but we've cultivated the feelings and sentiments and bhava of an animal, like a dog, and we've acted like dogs and disregarded all types of Vedic instructions and morality and religious rules and regulations. And next life we get the body of a dog, because we have dog bhav. We don't have gopi bhav. Dog bhav gives dog deha. And gopi bhav gives gopi deha. Very nice. As you know, death means a change of body. Dehino shminyata dehi komaram yavanam jara tata dehantara pravtir diras tata namuyati. Body changes, but the passenger, the observer, the witnesser remains the same, although the body changes from boyhood to youth to old age. And old age we change and get another body. And that's determined by our bhav, by our sukriti, by our karmas, obviously. So death is only a change of body, not a change of bhav. It's interesting, someone may be in this physical body, for example, there's one young man and one young lady, and then they both come and they get their siddhadeha. They're both mandris. They are given the siddhadeha of a mandri. But then after some time they produce a baby. Oh, this is very extraordinary. How two mandris produce a baby? So that means that their bhav is not mandri bhav. Although the man is given his siddhadeha, he is not identifying, he doesn't have bhav for that. His bhav is kam bhav. Desire, that I am Purusha, that I am the enjoyer, I am man, and this is my wife, or maybe takes her as his wife. And they combine as husband and wife to produce a child. Well, that's all right, that's done. But if one is really, if in fact that, so this proves that simply giving the siddhadeya doesn't give the siddhabhav. You have siddhadeya, all right, that's very nice, it's very fortunate you have that fortune. But you still have the bhava of a purusha, or a man, or a woman. I am woman, I am man. I am mother, I am father. So this is lokik, this is material bhava, this is not transcendental. So you, what have you really attained? Because when you die, you'll change your body, and that bhava that you have will get you another material body. It won't give you a siddhadeya. I have received my siddhadeya, but you get a material body when you die. Because you haven't attained siddha bhav. Very interesting. So the bhav is the most important thing, because Krishna himself says the bhav gives the body, not the body gives the bhav. Yam yam vapi smran bhavam tyajit yanti kalevaram. And Krishna is saying whatever you're thinking, whatever your bhav is at the time of death, then that's what you'll get in next life. So I'm given siddhadeya and I have the 11 symptoms of my siddhadeya. But that's only, it's a piece of paper. It's called a Diksha Patra. Your name is there, your guru's name, your Param Guru, Para Guru, and the Samasti Guru, all the way to Krishna. But giving a piece of paper and giving a name or 11 symptoms of a siddhadeya is not the same, is not bhav. It's not giving the bhav. Bhav is something much, much more difficult to attain. You have to qualify for that by rigidly performing devotional service and getting the mercy. Death is only a change of body, not a change of bhav. The sthayi bhav must be acquired while one is living. One gives up his body. Once we give up the body, we get the next body according to our bhav. For example, you work and save money. You're working and then you're saving money. Then you go on a holiday and then you spend the money you saved. So while performing sadhana, one collects his realizations and he intensifies and purifies his bhav. Then at death he chooses his next home for the soul according to your savings. Raghunuga Bhakti is the process of acquiring that spiritual bhav. It's called sthayi bhav because it's permanent. Stan or sthayi. It's never lost or changes. Material bhavas are all temporary. They keep changing. We keep taking more births. Once we attain spiritual bhav, one gets an eternal spiritual body and lives in a spiritual world eternally, serving the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Well, this was some note that we had on verse. That was 295. This verse 296. Which is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Shravanot kirtanadini vaidya vaida bhaktya ditanitu yanyan gani chitanyatra vigya yani manishibi. The discriminating practitioner should accept the angas or limbs of devotion which are mentioned in vaidhi bhakti such as hearing and chanting as the angas of Raghunuga Bhakti. So here he's saying that Shravanot Kirtan Adi. Adi, of course, means beginning. So beginning with Shravanam, Krishna Shravanam, hearing about Krishna, hearing his name, form, qualities, etc., and chanting the glories of Krishna, and chanting his pastimes. These are the beginnings. This is Vaidhi Bhakti Uditani. Yan Yan Gani Vigya Yani Manishivi. One should very thoughtfully consider that, okay, I may be endeavoring to practice the path of Raghunuga Sadhana, but nevertheless, that means that I don't abandon Vaidhi Sadhana. I was hearing before and chanting before. I'm also hearing now and chanting now. But maybe my hearing is more specialized and my chanting is more focused on a particular sthayibhav of Krishna because of my awakening rag and attachment to worship and love Krishna, a particular mood or mellow. So this is the discriminating, the manishi. Manishi means the thoughtful, the thinker, the mani, the moon, like muni, man, mind. Discriminating practitioners, they accept the angas which are mentioned in Vaidhi Bhakti, such as hearing and chanting. So Raghunuga Bhakti, it's not, oh, what is Raghunuga Bhakti? People hear, oh, Raghunuga Bhakti, something strange. Something mystical, some secretive practice, esoteric practices. Please, can you let me know what is this Raghunuga Sadhana? It's something. Yes, you hear and chant about Krishna, remember. It's much, very much similar. So Raghunuga Bhakta follows those limbs of Vaidhi Sadhana, like hearing and chanting and remembering, which are congenial to his desired sthayi bhav. For example, Madhurati. In general, on the level of Vaidhi, we are practicing the sadhana to become purified, chaito-dharpana marjanam, to purify and steady our mind, become convinced, remove our doubts, attain knowledge of sambandha, our identity, our spiritual identity, the identity of this world, and the identity of God and our interrelationship between we and God or ourselves and God. This is siddhanta. The foundation of truth, siddhanta, spiritual reality. And we're hearing in a general way and chanting in a general way and remembering Krishna time to time in a general way. This is Vaidhi Sadhana. Then as we become purified, by association and by inner inclination, we become attracted to Krishna in a particular way. And then our practices of sadhana, they become specialized. They become focused on depending on the arising of our rag, our attraction and attachment for Krishna. For example, in the beginning we're reading all the Bhagavatam, we're reading all different books. And then as we advance to Nishta, especially at Nishta and even to Ruchi, then we think, oh, I'm so much interested in Krishna and Vrindavan, specifically with the gopis, although he has his mother and his friends and his house servants. But I really like hearing about Krishna and the gopis. So now we'll hear and chant, as we did before, but we'll hear and chant primarily about Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan, because our relish is there, our attraction is there. So this is the focusing, rather than just every part of the Bhagavatam and all the different scriptures and Gita and all different books. No, now it's only 10th canto, or it's only books by Rupa and Raghunath that specially describe Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan and the gopis' relationship. Gopi Bhava Risam Ritabdi Lahari. So now it appears, oh, both are hearing and chanting, both are doing Shravanam Kirtanam, both Raghunuga, Bhakta, and Vaidhi. But the Raghunuga Sadhana, he knows what he wants. He has a specific idea, a specific attraction as awoken. I want this, and I'm interested in this. It's not a generic interest. Yes, I'm interested in Krishna and everything about him. Partasarati Krishna, and Dwarkadish Krishna, and Kurukshetra Krishna, and Mathura Krishna, and Vrindavan, they're all wonderful, they're all nice. That's all right, I can be there. But that's a general outlook, non-specified feelings towards the Lord. But as one matures and develops and becomes purified, then he will come to this natural specialization. In college, when people first enroll in college, sometimes they take a general course of study, liberal arts. They're dabbling here and there, and then they're asked by the dean of the school, well, now you've been here for one semester, are you going to declare your major, or are you going to fool around for the next 3 years? What are you going to do? So then you declare some major, you say, yes, I will major in this field of study, medicine or commerce or computers or whatever, I don't know, whatever they have, technology, science. And same thing with Krishna Bhakti, the science of devotion. Beginning, we're studying this and that, and then we come focused. So he's making this point here that the Raghunuga Sadaka, he will select individually and under guidance of his spiritual master, his Shiksha and Diksha Guru, he will select particular limbs of bhakti and also be helped in his selection by his Bhajan Shiksha Guru. The Bhajan Shiksha Guru, he has tread the path of Raghunuga Sadhana, and he may be fixed in bhava and prema, so that he can advise, yes, accept this book, reject this book. Yes, chant these bhajans, reject these bhajans. Ramananda Roy was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inquiring from Ramananda Roy about Raghunuga Bhakti, and he said, those that are serious about, I said, what is the best way to make advancement and become attached to Krishna? I said, you should read, and then Ramananda Roy said, you should continually read and study the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto. He said this. And then Lord Chaitanya said, what kind of songs, what kind of bhajan should one sing? Any kind of bhajan, this song, that song? He said, no, you should sing songs about the love of, you should sing those songs describe the intimate love affairs of Radha and Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Varadari. So here is this being described. That's specialized. And this some of the details of specialization are given in books like Prema Bhakti Chandrika and others. And of course, Jiva Goswami, he explains that this, we say, following in the footsteps of the Brijvasis, that was yesterday. Brajaloka Anusarita, when this point was mentioned in 1970 in New York, Prabhupada said, we must follow in the footsteps of the Brijvasis to develop pure love for Radha and Krishna. Then one devotee raised his hand and said, Prabhupada, we don't know any Brijvasis. We know you. We know you, and you came from Vrindavan. You were in Sevakunj, and you left your home, your bhajan place in Sevakunj. You've come to New York. So we know you, and you're from Vrindavan. So when it says in Nectar of Devotion, one should follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, is that means we just follow you? And Prabhupada laughed, and he said, yes, you can follow me. Because Prabhupada, of course, is a resident of Vrindavan, eternally situated at the feet of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and Radha Damodara, Radha Govinda Dev, Vilas Manjari and Rupa Manjari. But surely and certainly by following Srila Prabhupada, one will arrive there. This is a fact. When the Prabhupada's disciples said, you're a resident of Vrindavan, you're the only resident we know, so if we follow in your footsteps, is that good enough? And Prabhupada laughed and said, yes, that we can do that. But now, what this term means in verse 295 about Brajaloka Anusarita, to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, it means that actually. Jiva Goswami says, Guru Parashraya, because bhakti leads to bhava and prema. Prema means we want Braja Bhav, Gopi Bhav, and Braja Prema. And it's not possible without following someone who has it. And the Ragatmika Janas, Lalita Vishaka, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, certainly they have this Gopi Bhav, this Braja Bhakti. But then our Guru also has that. So Guru Parashraya. So we want to take shelter. We want to take shelter of Lalita and Vishaka, and Rupa and Rati Manjari, Raghunath Das and Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami. But where does that shelter begin? The shelter begins with the shelter of Guru. Guru is the Prema Shraya, the shelter of devotion. He's the guardian of devotion, the shelter of bhakti, the shelter of Naam, the shelter of Seva. The Guru is the giver of Naam and the giver of Seva. The Guru gives the holy name to the disciple, and he gives Gopal mantra, other mantras, and he gives Seva, service to the disciple. So that's the shelter. If we're under the shelter of the Naam and Krishna's Seva, then we have real shelter. Because Naam and Seva will give us Bhav and Prema. Will give us Naam Seva and Guru Seva. Will give us, bring us to platform of purity, attachment, affection, and ultimately Bhav and then Prema, Prem Seva. Prem Seva, Radha Krishna, Vrindavan. So to follow, the beginning of following the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan is to follow the footsteps of the Guru, Guru Parashraya. Jiva Goswami says that this verse says, yan gani anga, says anga tanyatra vige. He says, the angas of Vaidhi Bhakti which are favorable to one's particular raganuga cultivation. So now, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and I think also here in this footnote, explains there are some limbs of devotion, bhakti sadhana or sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi sadhana, which are not favorable for raganuga. And what's an example? One of them, it says, to meditate on Krishna and Vrindavan, or to meditate on Krishna and Dwarka. So to meditate on Krishna and Dwarka is against the mood of Braja Parakiya Bhav. Because in Dwarka, Krishna is married, it's Swakiya. He has his Rukmini, and he has his Satyabhama, and he has his Kalindi, and Mitravinda, and Satya, and so many queens he has there. He's married, it's all very lawful and predictable. But we want to worship, we worship Krishna that is not married, that is cheating, he's running with the wives of others, Parakiya Bhav. So if we're meditating on Krishna, it's called Dwarka Dhyan. One of the limbs of devotion is called Dwarka Dhyan. So to meditate on Krishna and Dwarka is against Raganuga Bhakti, it's against Gopi Bhav, it's against the rag or the attachment of Krishna. So we don't do it. Of course, we never, maybe never did it to begin with. That's our good fortune. But in general, in the line of Vaishnavas or in Gopi, line of Vaishnavas or worship of Krishna, one of the limbs, acceptable limbs of devotion is to worship Krishna, Dwarka Dhyan, Dhyan, to meditate on Krishna and Dwarka. But this is against Braj Bhakti, so we don't do it. It goes against the mood. We worship Krishna with the Braja Gopis, with Radharani and the Gopis and Manjaris. In Raganuga Bhakti, we're not worshipping Krishna with Rukmini. Although she's there and she's present in Krishna's Leela, but we don't worship there. So we have to be very careful to select the limbs of devotion which actually nourish our desired bhav and not hamper it. There are some other things that are abandoned, specific activities that are done in Vaidhi Sadhana which are abandoned, like mudras. These are used in archana. These are mudras, hand postures, hand positions, which are used to purify different elements of puja, korma stapana mudra, and vena mudra. There's so many different mudras they have. And these are not to be, they're not necessary in rag bhakti. They're an impediment, because they get us too much involved with externals and mechanical formulas. Then also nyas. Nyas is touching different parts of the body while chanting mantra. This is done for purification. It's all part of Bhuta Shuddhi. Purifying the elements of the body. But in Ragmarg, you'll see in Vaidhi Sadhana, they have all these elaborate achmans they do, and nyas and other purificatory rites. But in Raghunuga Sadhana, we don't so much, of course we bathe and have clean cloth and do achman, all these things, as we do in Vaidhi Sadhana. But we're more interested in adjusting our bhav, and adjusting our hearts, than adjusting our bodies with various postures and pranayama and mudras and hand gestures and other limbs of archan, which are, in one sense, external. So we want to adjust the bhav. So in Raghunuga Bhakti, we're given a mantra to chant. Before we do puja, we're given one mantra to chant. Naham vipro nacha narapati vaishana shudho naham varni nacha grihapat. We have it bestowed yitirva yit kintu prodyanikala paramananda purnabritavdira gopi bartu parakamalior das das and das. We're given a mantra to adjust our identity. What is our eternal identity? Sarvapadi vinir muktam anyabhilashita shunyam. We get free from all upadis. That Naham vipro nacha narapati napi vaishina shudo naham vari nacha grihapatir nova nishtuvyatirva. I have nothing to do with any of the varnas of the varnashram system. I have nothing to do with any of the ashrams. To do means ego. I don't have any egoistic identification with, oh, I'm a brahmachari. I'm a grihastha vanaprastha sannyas. I'm a brahman, vaishya, shudra, kshatriya. I'm nothing of these. This is all external. These are designations, upadis, and measurements and calculations of the external material body due to birth and activities. But I'm not a material body, I'm a spiritual body. And I'm not living in this material world, I'm living in the spiritual world, in the manasic, the land of the mind. And the land of the mind means in my manasi seva, in the internal world, in the spiritual world, I'm living there, my identity is there. My identity is there and my body is there. It's called the Siddhadeha, the eternal body. It's there. And I'm meditating on it and I'm trying to realize it and hoping to attain it. And so my whole plane of activities is not in the external world where we have a physical body which requires mudras and achmans and nyas and all these things. The whole world that I'm moving in is an internal world. It's an internal mental world, which is based on the Siddhadeya and the Siddhabhav, the particular mood of loving sentiment and loving attachment I have for the Lord. Therefore we say, what is my identity? My identity is Gopi, Bhartu, Padakamali, or Das, Das, and Adas. I'm with the Gopis. I'm living with the Gopis. The Gopis don't have bodies of Brahmins or Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, and they aren't sannyasis or grihasthas or vanaprasthas. The gopis, they're all in Siddhadeha, in Gopideha. And their bodies are made of bhav, premdeha, mahabhav, mahabhav sarup. And they're simply engaged in serving the Lord. They're serving Radharani and Krishna and in that plane. So no one's pulling rank on another one. All gopis are equal. So, hey, you know, I'm a Brahmin gopi. Oh, you're a Brahmin gopi. Oh, I'm a Shudra gopi. No, there's no such thing. Gopi, Bhartu, Padakamali, or Das, Das, Anodas. They're all in Dasi Bhav, Palyadasi. Ekale Yeshvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. There is only one Purushottam Ishvara Krishna, and everyone else is serving him. Everyone, even Nanda Maharaj, Even if they have male forms, they have Prakriti Bhav. Eki Purusha. Ek Purusha Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and everyone else is Prakriti. Nanda Maharaj, Sridhan Subal, Balaram, everyone. So this is the Bhav, this Prakriti Bhav, Seva Bhav. Gopi Bhartu Palakamalaya. Das, what is this word Das? Das, Das, and a Das. Dasi, Dasi, this means a certain Bhav. This is my position. What is the position of a servant? He's just a servant. He's not, what is he? He's a Brahmin. He's a servant. That's his position. So there's no room for hankara there, no room for false pride, no room for rank pulling. So this is the prayer the one chants before he engages in archana or puja and level of rag marg, or before he engages in his chanting of mantras. That, okay, maybe in the eyes of the world, in the objective world, and the objective or observable world, this loka, people will see me in a particular relative way. Because this is a relative world, a world of duality. One object is related to another by space and time. This is the world, the theory of relativity, the world of relativity. Everyone is related to one another. So here we have society and we have distinctions and hierarchy. Someone will say, oh, you're Brahman, I'm Shudra, you're Brahmachari, etc. And there's certain protocol and certain etiquette. But in that world, and the dynamic inner world of the spiritual domain, everyone, there's absolute equality there. Everyone is equal to the center, and the center is equal to everyone. Smriti, Shruti, Bhakti. Then Jiva Goswami quotes a verse. He says, this is from 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2, verse 35. Enastaya naro rajan na pramadyeta karhichit dhava nimilya va netre na skalen na patet iha. O king, one who accepts the path of Raghunuga Bhakti will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with his eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. This is a very famous verse, 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 35. If he's running on the path. So this particularly means the path of Raghunuga Bhakti. And when it says, even while running with his eyes closed, that means this. This means the Shruti and the Smriti. Because on the platform, Shruti and Smriti, these are the two eyes. It means that if these two eyes, if they're against your bhav, then you don't follow them. Mm-hmm. And it's like Shruti, you have two eyes and then you have a heart. This is your heart. Sometimes they have the phrase, the eyes of the heart. See with the eyes of the heart. Shruti and Smriti, these are the eyes. Shruti means the original four Vedas, Atharva Veda, Yajur Veda, Samaveda, Rig Veda. These are called Shruti. And Smriti are the corollary Vedas which are coming in pursuance of those Shrutis, like Mahabharata, which includes Bhagavad Gita, and the 18 Puranas and 108 Upanishads. These are called Smriti. Shruti and Smriti. So generally, in the Varnashram system or in the Vedic paradigm, these are the eyes of the human being. Even there's verses from Padma Puran, Shruti Smriti Puran, and the Pancharatrika Vedimvina, Aikantiki Hari Utpatya Vikalpate. It says if someone disregards the path of Shruti and Smriti, then it's considered that his outlook is not acceptable. It's Utpatyaiva. It's upside down. It's not proper. It won't end in proper thing. Shruti Smriti Puranati Pancharatri Vidimvida. Aikantiki. So, but that applies to the ordinary person in Varnashram system or following Vaidhi Sadhana. But in Raghunuga Sadhana, as we said, he transcends. And this is being told in Uddhava Gita. He actually transcends the Shrutis and Smritis because he's seeing with the eyes of his heart. The eyes of his rag. Of course, it's not kalpana. It's not dreaming or imagination. It's rag based on true attachment, rag based on inner purification and realization of Krishna and bhakti. So he's running on this path of rag, and he's serving the Lord on the path of raganuga sadhana, and he may be overlooking so many Vedic formularies or Vedic rituals or rites, or seemingly have his eyes closed to the Shruti and Smriti. That's why it means. This is what the commentary is. If you only read the verse, you may get a little confused. Even while running with his eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. It's not literal. The scriptures are often, they're spoken in an indirect way. And it's called avahita. Avahita means covered. The meaning is covered. It's not direct. It's indirect. And you have to trace it out through the commentaries, through Guru. Guru reveals the secret of the Shastra. Oh, you run down this path of raganuga bhakti. Okay, I close my eyes. Here I go. Oh, boom. Oh. I mean, I won't trip and fall in a hole or run into a tree or get run over by a car. No, your eyes are open. But because we say Shastra Chakshush. You must have heard this term. Shastra Chakshush. Chakshush means eye, and Shastra means sacred scriptures, holy scriptures. Even while running with his eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. In other words, we are practicing the path of raganuga sadhana, and we may not be paying attention or following, performing dwarka dhyan or using various mudras or engaging in nyas, achman nyas, and hango prasana. And so many activities are there mentioned in shrutis and smritis. And we're just thinking gopi bhartu padakalam. I'm das, das, and das. I'm simply a servant of the servant of Rupa Manjari. I'm absorbed in Paliyadasi Bhav. I'm only thinking of Paliyadasi Bhav. I want to be a dasi, a maidservant of Radharani. Pali means protected, sheltered, Gopal. I want to be under the shelter and protection of Srimati Radharani and move as she wants me to move and speak as she wants me to speak and act as she wants me to act and be where she wants me to be. This is my sum and substance of my life as a raganuga sadhak. And then people say, oh, you know, you have this thing in the Shruti, that thing in the Smriti, you're not following. I say, koi baat nahi, don't worry about it. It's all right. So Krishna is telling Uddhava and Uddhava Gita that these special devotees, they don't have to worry so much. Na yango pakrame dhamso madharmasyo devan vapi maya vastita samyan nirgunatvat anashisa. My dear Uddhav, because I have personally established it, this process of devotional service to me is transcendental and free from any material motivation. Certainly a devotee never suffers even the slightest loss by adopting the process of raganuga bhakti. It is beyond the modes of nature and never destroyed. 11th canto, chapter 29, verse 20. This is verse 296. Shavanot kirtana adini vaidya bhakti yudhani tu. Yan yan gani chatan yatra vigye yani manishibi. Rupa Goswami is stating very clearly here, so no one can be left to their imagination, that yes, one who is following the path of raganuga sadhana, he will also follow vaidi bhakti, udhitani tu. He will follow the limbs of vaidi bhakti sadhana, beginning adi, beginning with shravana and kirtan, with hearing and chanting about Krishna. They are not abandoned. For example, in the beginning we sing so many different types of songs, but in the path of raganuga bhakti, one will want to sing songs only about Radha and Krishna and their pastimes specifically. And other songs that may not be directly about that, he won't be so interested in. And hearing, it says, Shravanam, he may hear, rather than hearing everything in all types of Vedic literatures, he'll specifically want to hear the Goswami's writings, Rupa Goswami and Raghunath, because they're always writing about Radha and Krishna, and Krishna's Kaviraj and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He will focus very centralized. And this is what he was discussing. He will choose, he'll be very particular about choosing those limbs and aspects of devotion which further his cause. And then there's glorification given by Jiva Goswami that if one chooses this, one might be hesitant. Oh, I'm being very focused, and I seem to be following a very narrow path. The path of raga is very narrow, that I'm focusing everything in one particular department. I'm focusing everything on my attachment and desire to attain a sthayi bhava, a permanent devotional mellow and madhur rati, bhavalas rati of a mandri servant of Radha and Krishna Yuga in Vrindavan. And I'm excluding so many other things and overlooking and ignoring so many other Vedic corollaries and strictures and niyamas of Shruti and Smriti. Maybe I have some fear there. Maybe I have some hesitation that I may get punished or some thunderbolt may come out of heaven and crack me because I'm being so seemingly narrow and excluding. Someone sees, oh, you're not doing mudras anymore. You're not doing Dwarka Dhyan. You're not doing pranayama before you chant your Gayatri. What is this? What has happened to you? You deviated. So no, just like there's verses in Padyavali by Rupa Goswami, Madhavendra Puri, he says, it's a very nice verse, he says, to hell with my morning bath, to hell with my anik, to hell with my chanting of Gayatri three times a day, to hell with this, to hell with that, which are so many recommendations that are told in Shruti and Smriti. If you're a Brahman, you have to chant your anik, your Gayatri mantra, and three sandhyam vandana, sunrise, noon, and sunset. And if you don't do your tree sandhyam vandana, then you'll go to hell. And many types of warnings and strictures there. And so he writes a very beautiful poetic verse in Padyavali, to hell with this, to hell with my morning bath, and this, that, everything, all these things. Because my mind is simply absorbed in this little boy crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. That's all I'm thinking about. This little boy is crawling in this Nanda Nandan. This little Lala, he's crawling in the courtyard. I've simply become captivated to worship him and remember him and think about him and pray to him day and night. Nothing else appeals to me. So obviously, he's not in Maya. He's not going to hell by ignoring all the other Shrutis and Smritis. He's actually attained the perfection of devotional samadhi, fully absorbed on one point, all of his heart, mind, and attention on Krishna, and in particular, sthayi bhava of Madhurya or Vatsalya, it's not clear, but Krishna specifically. So this is desirable, and this is the goal, this is the prayojana, a necessity that we would hope to attain.